Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Burt Show.
Evan is our divorce attorney, and as we say every time we have him on, man, if you're just like starting to go through the a divorce right now, there's a million different angles on this thing that just must be just like your head is spinning. Where do you even start? Well, you start with calling a divorce attorney. Like, what is the very first piece of advice when somebody walks through the door for you, Evan? Like, what's the very first thing you say to them?
I typically want to find out if they've had an opportunity to talk between the two of them first, before they come in to sit down with me. If for no other reason, just so that I can get a feel for what they're actually going to be dealing with.
Okay, so you're getting a sense, kind of like, right off the bat, how big this mountain is?
Exactly. Are we going to war, or is this an amicable divorce, or have they already figured everything out already on their own?
Gotcha.
Evan, is it really difficult to kind of make your clients kind of diffuse their own emotions as they're talking to you? Because I could imagine when you're being very matter-of-fact about the legalities of a divorce, they usually are offended that you're not taking one side or the other.
No, I mean, I'll tell you, the emotional side of it is definitely one of the things that keeps my job interesting. And I think to do this kind of business, you have to be able to deal with both the legal side of it and the emotional side of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a divorce attorney nemesis? That every time this guy rolls into the office, you know it's going to be an ugly fight?
Oh, I would say there's probably two or three of them.
It's your divorce attorney antichrist. Good morning, Ashley. You are on with Evan Summerstein from Hunter Weinstein and Summerstein.
Hi, Evan. How are you?
Great.
Okay, my question is there any way to... I filed uncontested because we had originally agreed on everything, but now I've given up. I've lowered the child support, things like that, and he will not sign. He told me that if I have sex with him twice a week until the divorce is final, that he'll sign the papers.
And damn.
I told him he was crazy.
Well, what are you waiting on?
No. I told him that, you know, I didn't want to do it when we were married. Why do I want to do it now?
And most attorney's fees are probably less annoying than that.
And I just, I don't know what to do now. I'm kind of at a standstill with him because he's kind of like, well, I'm not signing the papers unless you do this, and I'm not doing it. So.
Isn't that what you charge for a divorce, Evan?
Sex twice a week? Upon that.
Okay.
A little bit. Have you filed anything with the court yet?
Yeah, I've drawn up all the papers. I've got the papers, gave them to him. All he has to do is sign them.
Okay, so nothing's actually been filed?
No.
I would suggest either filing them yourself or speak to an attorney and get them to go ahead and file the paperwork. Have him served probably by the sheriff if you want to go that route and be that strong. In essence, to say to him, look, this is going to happen whether you want it to or not. We can fight about it or we can do it nice. But
okay,
it's going
to happen. Okay, so do I go through an attorney to do that, or do I? I mean, I have no idea how to do it.
Obviously, the easiest way is to go through an attorney because they can handle the filing and getting someone to actually serve the papers on them. But especially if you've already gone ahead and prepared all the paperwork and everything yourself, you can go down to the courthouse, file it down there. They'll take it over to the sheriff's office, and the sheriff will go ahead and serve the papers on them.
Okay, well, that switch it from uncontested to contested, though.
As far as the court's concerned, there's no real difference.
Okay.
I mean, that's kind of something I think that we all make up as far as contested or uncontested. I mean,
right.
It sounds to me, if he's not willing to sign the papers, that clearly at this point, at least, it's contested.
Well, he's agreed on everything except for the whole, I want to have sex with you twice a week until the final part.
I don't know why you're being such a prude about.
And it, I don't know what to do.
I will tell you, this is a little interesting side note also. When you'll notice on the papers that you prepared, we have to put down a date of separation. Once that's been filed with the court, you can no longer have sex with your spouse.
What?
Because it would, in essence, prove to the court that you are not separated.
So every time that you have sex with your spouse, if you're going through a separation, takes you another 30 days away from a divorce, if that's what you want?
In essence, yes.
Wow.
I have plenty of cases where you know, we go to actually finalize the divorce, and we're sitting there ready to go, and the client goes, oh, by the way, need to tell you, we had a couple drinks to celebrate last week, and accident happened.
How do you even prove that? Like, let's say one says we've had sex and the other one says we haven't.
I will tell you, if my client tells me they did, we will dismiss and refile it, because it would actually void the divorce if it were ever proved later that it happened.
Really?
So just, there's no reason to take a chance when all we're talking about is 30 days anyway.
Okay. Hold on one sec. I got to put you on a different line. Hold on one sec. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Tanya, you're on Q100. You're on The Voice Disguiser. Go ahead.
Hey, I have a question. We almost did our temporary papers, and we decided on doing custody where I want. You have him 1 week here, we have him 1 week there, and but he's still ended up paying child support. He said he shouldn't have had to pay. Is that true?
Under the new child support guidelines, typically what we do is we would run the numbers as if you had primary custody, so he was paying you child support, based on both y'all's incomes, and then run it as if he had custody and get the same, you know, the same thing from the other side, okay, and then do an offset on those numbers. So if you guys are dead even on income, the result
no
child support.
I mean, I'm much lower.
Okay, then he would end up paying you child support, but at a reduced amount.
Okay.
Okay, and then we, like I said, we have a house and stuff that's supposed to be selling it. If it doesn't sell, I'm moving out. Can the judge force him to sell it?
Judges look at houses like money instead of looking at it as a house. So if he wanted to stay in the house and you wanted to leave the house.
Well, the agreement is that he can't make any profit from it. He can't keep it. He said it's supposed to be sold. And then all of a sudden now he said, well, it might not sell. And I'm like, well, what the heck am I getting out for if it's not going to sell?
What the court would typically do in that situation, if he was going to stay in the house, is they would have him buy you out and pay you, you know, if you guys were doing a 50-50 division and there was $50,000 of equity in the house, he'd have to figure out how he's going to pay you the $25,000 if he wants to stay in the house and not sell it.
Okay. If there's no equity, he's saying there's no equity.
Whoa, boy, hold on a
second. I'm sorry, say that again?
Hold on. She wasn't on The Voice Disguiser. Hold on. Go ahead. One last question real quick because I got to get to a whole bunch of them.
Okay. That's fine.
Is that it?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, I think once they get, like, online, they're like, I finally got someone in front of me. I got to ask everything.
Yeah, he's not billing me per hour.
Yeah.
I can't get that. Good morning, Q100.
Good morning. I was on hold for the attorney. You're not taking calls anymore?
Yeah, you, nah, yeah, you're on with them right now.
Oh, my God. Hi, Bert. Hello, Bert Show.
Hello,
hey.
Yvonne.
Hey.
Hey, okay, here's my question. I'm a single mom. I've been separated for 2 years. He hasn't paid me anything, and, of course, he hasn't filed because he doesn't want to pay me anything. So me with my little brain got on the computer and I filed myself, people, by myself. Mm-hmm. I filed, I paid to get him served. So what does he do? His mommy gets him a pretty badass attorney and now he counterclaimed my divorce. And
right.
So now he's suing me for his attorney fees. Am I screwed?
probably not at all. Where are y'all income-wise? Does he make more than you or vice versa?
You know what? I'm pretty proud to say that I was married for 20 years and I didn't work, and now I actually make almost the same amount as him.
The most common reason, there's two main reasons the court would make someone pay the other side's attorney's fees. One is a huge disparity in income. You know, if you were making $20,000 a year and he's making $100,000 a year.
Right.
And the court will do that to kind of even the playing field so that you can hire an attorney and he can hire an attorney, so it's kind of fair. The other reason is, in an ongoing case, if someone's doing stuff that just wastes time or wastes attorney's fees or wastes money,
right,
the court will kind of punish the other side for doing that by making them pay the other side's attorney's fees.
I'm praying and I'm hoping the judge is just going to be logical, and I'm going to go in there and say, listen, he doesn't pay me child support. I'm not asking for alimony. I'm not asking for back child support. All I want is what's fair and what you say is fair for him to pay me and half of my 401, and I'm on my way.
I will tell you, if he hasn't paid you child support in 2 years, the odds of the court requiring you to pay attorney's fees is pretty much zero. Right. But all that's coming from, he served you a counterclaim, and at the end of the counterclaim, he asked the court to award fees.
Oh, yeah, he asked for that, and he wants custody of the three minor kids so that he doesn't have to pay me child support.
Right. That request for attorney's fees, that's totally standard. We put that on every single complaint or counterclaim we file with the court.
Okay, so that's the heck out of me.
So that does not mean that he's actually thinking about getting attorney's fees. Okay. That's just something you put on there because who knows what's going to happen, and if you ask for it now, then you don't have to worry about it later if something came up that would justify it.
So do you think I have anything to worry about because I'm walking in there with no representation, just little old me?
I will tell you, any time you are dealing with custody stuff, I always suggest you have an attorney if it's at all possible. If not, you know, you go in and present the facts, and if a guy has not paid child support in 2 years, and depending on how involved he's been with the kids over that two-year period of time, I mean, the odds of the court changing a custody situation, unless there's some facts you're not telling me about, are probably pretty slim.
All right, let me take one more call for you, then we got
to at least have to stay at a Holiday Inn.
Tracy, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, my question is this. We've been separated since 2004. We went through 2 years of arguing and finally came to an agreement, went to court, and had what we thought was our final day. We signed everything. I did not get a copy that was signed by the judge that day. However, it was filed with the court. A year later, I requested a copy. The judge never signed it. So I thought that we were divorced. My attorney said we were. We found out we're not even divorced.
Ouch. I hope nobody got remarried in the meantime.
No.
Okay.
No. However, now circumstances have changed. I personally no longer agree with our agreement. I settled for...
Now that the judge didn't sign it.
Yeah, well, he won't even sign the original agreement now. The judge says that the original agreement is outdated and that we have to come to a new agreement. And so it's like starting over. Is my attorney not liable for that? I mean, I spent $5,000 and thought I was divorced.
Hmm, that's a good question. I would say, first off, I think the attorney has some duty to kind of stay on top of it and make sure everything is finalized correctly. I don't know if that would rise to the level of liability. As far as kind of what to do from here with a new agreement, it's real interesting to me that the judge would say that agreement's kind of stale at this point. But I guess if that's the judge's take on it, then, yeah, you kind of start all over again as far as agreement.
So my attorney said that that's what the judge said. I have not been in court, and he just said, judge won't sign it because you guys agreed on split custody, which never happened. She spends 4 overnights with her father a month. We agreed on no child support. I did all of this just because he was so difficult. And I agreed to things that I didn't really agree with just because I could not seem to get divorced from this guy. So now the judge is saying, you know, no, those things never really work. Everyone's always back in court anyway, come up with a new agreement. So I'm starting at square one. Is that not correct?
It sounds pretty much like you are. I mean, I assume the property stuff was already taken care of.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so none of that's an issue. You're just kind of dealing with the custody stuff.
Custody and where to file. We live in different counties now. I mean, and I guess technically we still have an open case that I don't even know whose court the ball is in. I mean, he had filed the last counterclaim, and that's what we signed.
At what point, Evan, do you say get a new damn lawyer?
Well, you know, I mean, I will tell you, my goal with folks is if you can stay with the lawyer, do, because changing a lawyer is really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay someone to catch all the way back up to where you are.
Mm.
So, but this may be one of those situations where you just don't feel safe or comfortable with that lawyer anymore, and it may be time to hire someone else. But if you do stay with that other attorney, either way, it sounds to me like you're actually in a great position because that happened. You can walk into court and say to a judge, if you guys can't reach an agreement, say to the judge, look, this is what we've been doing for 2 years. And a judge is going to say, you know, kind of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And probably stick with the exact custodial setup you guys already have in place.
All right,
and in the situation with that, can she go to the first lawyer and go, look, I got to switch a lawyer, and it's going to take him 20 hours of time to do the research to get caught up? Can you pay for that, or I'll sue you? Like, is that an option?
I guess that's a possibility, but most lawyers, I guess, would probably say, yeah, go ahead and sue me. I don't have to hire a lawyer. You do. Yeah, but I would talk to that lawyer and see if you can reach some agreement about what he could do to hopefully try to make it right, at least do some kind of reduced fee or something in trying to negotiate the new agreement.
What are you laughing about?
I'm just laughing because it's like a front row seat. I'm fascinated by all the callers, like I said, Evan, earlier about the emotions with it, just about how the attitude, and this is what's going on, and let me tell, I mean, you know, the head's going, the fist is in the air, and it's just, because you don't know anything about their story. It's just fascinating on the outside looking in on just the venom that comes with divorce.
We had way too many smart people on the show today.
If you guys are ever bored, you're free to come hang out at the office for the day.
I would love to observe for just one day.
Can I pretend to be a lawyer?
Sure.
Excellent.
All right, Evan, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you for your time.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.
The Burt Show.
Good morning, Amanda. You're on Q100.
Hey.
Hey.
I was calling about the spreadsheet thing.
Yeah, this is initially what we were going to talk about, is that Jen brought this up yesterday, that there are some people that keep spreadsheets of dating.
Yeah, it kind of came up on Moment of Truth last night. Not last night, but night before last, when this contestant, Paul, explained his spreadsheet that he has. It's almost like a Hall of Fame of women.
Is there a rating?
There's a rating.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How many columns are there, Paul?
Five or six
columns. Have you seen it, Federico?
Yeah, I've seen it. It's impressive, actually.
Why do you keep the spreadsheet?
I'll actually blame it on my sister.
I do not remember this little black book.
My little pimp book you gave me for a birthday.
So basically, he just keeps a Hall of Fame of women that he's been with and ranks them and writes little notes about them and that sort of thing. And I have a friend that sort of approached dating like she approached business, and she had spreadsheets of the people she was dating, what they did for a living, their contact information, what they went, you know, what their first, second, and third dates were,
really?
Like where he would take her so that she could sort of compare guy to guy and line it up, column A to column B, and be like, well, he took me to a 5-star. But then this date was like a cooler idea, you know, and she would just sort of analyze it, color-coded, bar-coded.
She married.
You name it. She is, yes, just married in October.
Amanda has a friend that does the same thing. Amanda.
Hi, well, he didn't keep a spreadsheet of women he had dated, but I was actually, I had only been dating him for a couple months, and I was using his computer in college to do a paper, and I had to make a spreadsheet, and so I went into Excel, and you can click and, like, look at, try to find your file again, and there was one that was like sex doc. So I mean, of course, he could have hit it a little bit better. So I clicked on it, and it was a spreadsheet of all the women that he had slept with, and it was like 50 something women, and he had like a name, a date, and so then I scrolled down a little more, and he had like a chart, kind of like a bar graph, that had the bottom was the months of the year, and then the side was, like, the number. So you could look and see, like, okay, in July he slept with this many women. Like, he had it charted out.
That's hilarious. So he was knowing when his mojo was going up and down through the months.
Awful.
It's like, yeah, I was having a really great July.
I didn't think that guys had that kind of organization. I mean, that's impressive right there.
I don't think most guys do.
Would it get really descriptive?
No, he just had the graph, and then in the spreadsheet, all it had was, like, the name and the date that he slept with them. And then when I asked him about it, he was like, well, I don't want to be one of those guys who slept with a lot of women and didn't remember their names, because that would just make me a bad guy.
See, I could see a guy like, because generally, a guy will remember a woman in bed by, A, where they met, and B, one thing that happened in bed. So I could see a guy, like, writing in that column, like, I can't say, but whatever freaky thing happened, like, that was that girl. And that's how you'll always remember her. Does that make any sense?
You didn't do that.
All right, thank you for calling.
I would love to see these spreadsheets, whether it was, like, hers or, like, a dating one.
She's the only one that's called up with the spreadsheet story. Nobody else is saying they've kept one.
Well, if you have one, I would love for you to email it to me, jen@allthehitsq100.com. I would just love to see everybody's organization.
I would like to know. I bet that the women's spreadsheets are more descriptive than the guys are.
Without a doubt.
Graphic, you mean?
Graphically, yeah.
Really?
I bet they are. 404-741-Q100.
Hi.
Hi. Peace.
What's up?
Jeff said you had a spreadsheet story.
I do. Okay, I dated this guy when I was in college, and
I mean, I kind of knew he was a player anyway, but I didn't want to believe it because he was so great to me and treated me like I was the center of the universe and knew so much about me and was just great. You know, I was just loved him, but he wouldn't commit 100%. So one day I was over at his house and I went to use his phone, you know, and he had his phone set up like in this little back room. And next to the phone was this sheet of paper with girls' names. And then next to the names were descriptions and notes about the girls. So like, you know, next to me, it would say, you know, like Jessica. And then it had like, you know, the car that I drove, things that I had done recently, like just got back from California.
Really?
And a whole list of girls and all these things so that when he was on the phone, and it had phone numbers too. I mean, he called me so much that I thought he just knew my phone number. But no, he had the phone number.
That's good.
He had like times and stuff. The last time he talked to me, he like made a note of it. I mean, I was blown away. And there was this long list of girls and some that I'd recognized as his quote unquote friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I totally got played.
I'm surprised he wasn't more secretive about where that was.
Well, normally
just like sitting there right by the phone.
Well, but it was in a back room. Like it wasn't a room that we would normally be in. It was like his little office. And
well,
so
you used to be a psycho too, so you probably broke into his house. He was probably at work or something. You climbed through a window.
Well, all girls are psycho.
My friend and I, one day I was over there early or something, and my friend came over and we did do a little snooping.
You should have changed the notes.
Yeah.
Like you should have
totally
just
jacked
wrote,
about.
Yeah, wrote, copied over different notes. Like had Jen be the one who just got back from California. So how is California? Did you enjoy visiting your parents?
What?
Huh?
I was in Hawaii.
No, when I talked to you last Tuesday, you said you were in California.
We talked Friday.
Hey, Trey, you're on The Voice Disguiser. What's up?
Yeah, I actually have a spreadsheet, and it's pretty descriptive. I have names. I have the freaky ones, the ones that do, like, oral things in different positions. And, it has a rating by stars and hearts.
That is hilarious. So you can search by position.
Or if there's something...
Like, a quick search.
Like most...
If I want something in particular, I can kind of search by that.
I think most guys will either remember that experience by something freaky that happened or a specific body part that we liked a lot.
I completely agree with you. And that's what made me do that column was because I really like certain positions at certain times. Like, oh, hey, she knows the Kama Sutra. Let's go get
Wow. Fascinating.
Isn't it?
I love this.
Good morning, Jay. You're on Q100.
Hey, what's going on? Love the show, fellas.
Thank you, sir.
I actually had two friends in college. One of them was my fraternity brother, and his sister was in a sorority at the same college, and they each kept a spreadsheet of which one of each other's friends they had hooked up with.
Oh, dude.
Ooh.
Oh, that's nasty.
That's like that movie with, was it Ryan Phillippe and...
I don't know.
Reese Witherspoon and other people in it. And they were stepsisters. Remember? Stepbrother and sister.
I want to say Indecent Proposal, but I know that's not it. It's
you know what I'm talking
cruelty
about.
Something.
Cruel intentions.
Cruel Intentions. There we go.
Thanks.
Good morning, Kay. You're on Q100.
Hi, this is Kay.
Hey,
and
Kay.
How you doing?
Good.
My boyfriend and I are actually riding in the car on the way out of town. We were listening to the show, and I asked him, did he keep information of the hundreds of women that he's been with? And he says he keeps a box. And it basically has their name and contact information and the date that he was with them. And I asked him why he kept that. And he said basically so that he would know who to go back to in case something happened.
Oh, damn. That was a bad answer.
Wow.
But you know what? When we first met and I found out how many people he's been with, I was either going to flee or stay. I decided to stay.
But still, that's not a real good excuse of why he's keeping them.
So far, has it been worth it, staying?
Oh, definitely. This is the best relationship I've ever been in, so.
Well, enjoy it while it lasts.
I'm that last number.
I hope you are.
Hopefully won't be adding any more numbers.
I think you guys should have a night where you, like, just one by one, burn them up.
A box
burning. Actually, I just want to look through them and see, because he said early on he would write comments. He stopped doing that as he got older. I'm curious about what the comments say.
Oh, I bet you are. This is one of those cases where you just got to be really careful about what you ask for, because you just might get it.
Yeah, I can handle it.
Okay.
All right, thanks,
Thank you, bye-bye.
You think?
You can't handle the truth. One last call. Stevie, you're on Q100.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's going on?
All right, check us out. I used to work at a now-out-of-business computer store, and we were required to scan every computer for kiddie porn, basically. And you would find the most ridiculous stuff on there. All right, first of all, dudes are terrible. Their stuff is always stashed in a folder called porn or sex or chicks. There's no, I mean, it's always easy to find. Girls always no put it under something called Mama's Bacon Recipe or something. It's always sketchy.
Right.
First of all, chicks, much worse. The most ridiculous stuff, and this is 10 years ago, the most ridiculous stuff that you thought was on the internet that dudes found, chicks were already like 10 years ahead as far as that stuff goes.
Really?
And these spreadsheets, they were nice. They had the colors. They had pivot tables. They had charts. They would do like formulas to figure out stuff on the other side. I remember one time there was a girl that had like a PowerPoint thing that like linked to different documents that she would do for different guys. And she had pictures and stuff. It's horribly, horribly complicated. So the fact there's a lot of cats out there in the closet and in denial on how on top of their freakiness they are.
Uh-huh.
And things you never want to do is you never want to pull up the spreadsheet and see your name on the freaky sheet.
Right?
So like
on the freaky sheet.
Name, Jack, 'cause then it's like, oh, man, this sucks. So.
Well, I think we now know why that company ended up going under.
Amen to that. Thank God.
They found you on the freaky sheet.
They did find you on the freaky sheet. Thanks, Stevie.
The Burt Show.
All right, let's recap Amy's story. We spent a good amount of time with her last week. Amy, how long have you gone now in your relationship?
18 months.
What?
Over a year? How does he not know?
My kids actually live out of state with their dad.
Okay.
Okay.
And I visit them there. You know, it's hard work, but I have been able to keep it from him for that long.
Why?
It's not that I ever really wanted to. It's just like, didn't mention it the first few dates, didn't want to scare him off, and then I just could never find an appropriate time to bring it up. At this point, it's more about me getting caught in the lie. I feel awful about it.
Are you guys, like, exchanging the L word and all that?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about marriage.
Oh my God. He's going to be devastated.
You know, he's a really good guy. I don't know how to get out of this situation.
Yeah, and being honest just is not an option on The Burt Show. Apparently, when you call up, it was the same thing yesterday also. Since that's not an option, what else do we do?
Right.
So I think the last time we talked to Amy, she said she was going to have the talk with dude and find out exactly, you know, figure out a way, either be honest with him and go, look, this has been awful.
Mm-hmm.
So she's on The Voice Disguiser again. Hey, Amy, you're on Q100.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, good. How are you?
Okay.
People were so mad at you last week.
I know. I felt terrible after I cut off.
It's just one of those things where you just get caught up in the lie and it just snowballs and snowballs and snowballs and you just don't know when to put the brakes on it.
Yeah, exactly. Complete snowball until I was so deep, I just didn't know how to get out of it.
All right, well, did you do anything about it this weekend?
I did. I took my first step. I didn't address it completely, but I took my first step. Basically, what I did was I just really wanted to introduce the topic of children in general. So I just started talking about how much I love kids, and I told him that I have this niece and nephew that I'm really, really close with. Well, I just wanted to, like, break him in a little, like, just get his reaction on that, you know what I mean?
And did he say,
his
why didn't...
was amazing.
What,
his
baby steps?
Everything I could have hoped for. Oh, my God, I love kids, too.
So you introduced
I'd love
your...
to meet your family, you know, that kind of stuff.
You introduced
so
your...
far to actually show him a picture.
Of your own children as your niece and nephew.
Yeah, like, this is them. Aren't they cute? And he was like, oh, my God, they're adorable. I can't wait to meet them.
I'm mad.
So far, so good.
Hold on
I'm
a second.
Just really
mad.
Because I cannot, you are a mother and these are your children and you are kind of hee-hawing around it for this guy and it really offends me. It really offends me that you are going to show pictures of your own children to this guy as your niece and nephew. I just think that's so offensive.
Like, what's going to happen when, I mean, because eventually you are going to have to tell him.
Yeah, stand up for your kids.
Now you've got 18 months worth of lie behind you, and now you've even dabbled in starting to try to tell him the truth, but you've made it worse with a worse lie. Because now he's going to take a look at your kids and he's going to go, these are the ones you introduced me to a couple of months ago as your niece and your nephew.
Well, are you going to tell?
No, I'm going to tell him. I just wanted to break it in slowly, you know? And, you know, I've been thinking about it a lot. And, I mean, he's such a good guy. Like, my kids deserve to have him in their life. So
they don't deserve to have you!
They deserve to have a mother that's ready to say, hey, these are my children. I'm proud of them. I love them. You know, and I, you know, if you want to date me, then you have to know that you have to accept my children, too.
This is so cowardly what you're doing. It really is.
Oh, my God. If I was your son or daughter, I'd be so hurt.
I would, of course, start from the beginning, but I got myself into a bad situation. But if I were to start dating someone now, of course, I would tell them the truth from the beginning. But I've fallen in love with this guy. I want to spend the rest of my life with him.
Isn't that kind of backwards what you just said? If I started dating a guy, I would claim my children. But because I'm in love with this one,
I can't tell him everything.
I can't tell him about my children.
I'm in love with him. I can't tell him everything.
When did you come up with the niece and nephew thing? And how did that ever make sense that that would be a good idea?
Well, I wanted to tell him this week. And, you know, I was just thinking, what's a good way to start talking about kids and get his reaction and see, you know, if he was like, oh, I don't want to meet your niece and nephew, then I know I'm doomed, and then I can just come clean and we can break up. But his reaction was so great, you know, now I can take the next step.
Yeah, you've got to figure it out. Hey, Bernadette, good morning. You're on Q100.
I just wanted to say that she is a horrible mother and that she doesn't even deserve to have kids.
But she makes a great aunt.
This is a lot of the same calls we're getting that we got last week. People are really upset the way you're handling this. Alicia, you're on Q100.
Yes. I am a single mother, and I have never in my life. She is such a disgrace to all mothers.
Alicia, what is standard? Like, when you start going out with a guy, how long does it take you as a single mom to tell him, look, I've got kids?
I'm up front.
Why wouldn't you be?
I've never hit it. It's on the first date, I tell everybody, because I'm not ashamed about it.
That's what I said last week also, you know, like single, any parent is pressed for time. But when you're a single mom also, you don't got time for the games anymore, man. So let me tell you what I'm about right off the bat.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. The kid would have to be more important than this new guy that you don't know.
Crazy concept.
I'm sorry. That was radical. I apologize.
You're out of your mind. Good morning, Rob. You're on Q100. What's going on?
Yeah, well, I don't call very often, but I'll tell you what. This is unbelievable. Number one, it takes a pretty bad mother to lose her kids to the dad side of it because the dads never get the kids. But how do you not tell him? Are you embarrassed of your children? You don't deserve those kids, number one. And when you do tell him, I hope he leaves you. Come on! You gotta be kidding me!
It's pretty irresponsible. It really is, Amy. I mean, it's so irresponsible and so disrespectful.
But considering the damage is already done, isn't this a way to ease into it? Because what if he said, I hate kids, I never want... No, I'm just playing devil's advocate. If he said, I hate kids, I never want kids, kids are disgusting and they're dirty and they bite and they usually have snot on them and...
They poo and it stinks.
And they poo and they're rude in restaurants.
Nothing good comes out of
scream
in
restaurants,
like,
and usually they're running around and they're just in the way. And a lot of times they're noisy and sometimes they're just offensive and they will grab your hair and they'll get spit on you and they always have crust on them of
dirty
some sort. And they're just gross, right? And they'll eat turd if they can get their hands on it from the yard. So what if that's his opinion, right? What?
Well, I think
a very passive opinion, I'm sure.
Right. But if that's
but
his opinion,
not.
Something that you could never relate to.
Right. but what if he says that, then she could break up with him.
But it's not.
But if it was.
But it's not.
I am playing devil's advocate.
All right, let me play devil's advocate square.
You can't.
That's not the situation.
You can't, because devil's advocate, I'm saying her plan might not have been bad because she introduces the niece and nephew, and if he doesn't like kids, then she's like, well, I got to break up with him or, you know, never see my kids again, and she can make the decision and move forward with one of the relationships, either parental relationship or the girlfriend relationship, and know what she's getting into. But
you just wasted 3 minutes.
Unfortunately or unfortunately, he likes kids, so now she has to work around it. But I'm just saying,
but
if he didn't.
Thank you for your input.
If he didn't, then I think her plan was good.
Then why couldn't she have shown him pictures of.
It's not her fault that he likes children.
But she should. I mean, if. Okay, so say she was trying to handle this, she could have shown him pictures of her friend's kids and, like.
Or like Shiloh.
Right, and, you know, talked about that and then said, all right, well, then I have some and here's the pictures of mine. But by showing him her kids and saying there's someone else.
It's another double.
It's just double.
It's stacking on the line.
I'm not saying it was a perfect plan. What I'm saying is it wasn't necessarily
at least it was
totally
a plan.
Bad one. Right.
There was a plan.
There was a plan.
She didn't go in there
all. Credit. She did have a blueprint.
Yeah. She wasn't all willy-nilly about it.
A little misguided.
Stacey, you're on Q100. Good morning. Oh.
Hey, I'm just absolutely disgusted by this woman. And, you know, maybe that's why she doesn't have custody of her kids now, because she's used to disowning them.
Damn.
Maybe the court said, hey, she's an irresponsible mother, so why don't we give them to the father, because they don't exist in her world anyway.
Amy, what's your next step with this whole thing? So now you've got a man that digs kids.
Especially your niece and nephew.
Your niece and nephew specifically is probably going to. That's probably the next step. Well, let's babysit for my niece and nephew.
Oh, you're giving her ideas. Right. She's thinking, oh, that's awesome.
So what's the next step? You got to come clean eventually. I don't know what you're waiting on.
I am going to come clean. I just wanted to do it in little increments.
I get it. I get it, Amy.
Baby steps. Baby steps.
Literally.
Yeah.
Baby.
And I know. I mean, obviously, everybody hates me, and I would be thinking the same thing if I was listening to someone say this kind of stuff, but you just...
It's different with you.
The one thing I don't think anyone's understanding is I didn't mean for it to get out of control. I really didn't, but it did, and, you know, I'm sorry that it did, but I'm trying to fix it slowly.
You're only making it worse. All right. Well, we gotta get an update from you in a couple of weeks and find out how you extended this big old mistake.
Okay.
Good luck.
The Bird Show.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2x the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big.